May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What is the secret of your overwhelming beauty and your towering strength? The mighty oak was asked. You stand silently all day with only a breeze and birds to keep company among your branches. It seems that all of life is passing you by. Why, my beauty and my strength and my service is my life. It is in my very being to be both strong and beautiful and of service to the earth. I receive all of the carbon dioxide given by the living creatures, and I give them oxygen for their bodies, for their energy in return. It is what I am. I am an oak tree. I know that, said the one who wonders. But how is it, and why is it, that you should be so well regarded among all the other trees of the forest? After all, you are also the one most often struck by lightning than those around you. This you must understand, the oak replied. True life for me begins in the place you cannot see, deep within the dark, moist, and rich soil of the earth. I receive all that I need. I call that which I receive love. Love is the ground of my being. It is my foundation. It is an incubator for my seeds and the promoter of my roots, who suck up nutrients and water from Mother Earth. As I grow downward, seeking ever deeper into love, I grow upwards through my shoots into life under Brother Sun. More and more of my leaves open and dance brilliantly in the light and the warmth. As above, so below. It is love above the earth as below who stimulates my leaves to make food for leaner seasons. And every year, I add another ring of sapwood to my trunk, which circulates water and minerals and nutrients up and down the length and breadth and height of my being. I stand strong and beautiful and allow love to do its work through me and within me. Then fruit is formed in season and falls into Mother Earth, and the cycle is repeated again to make sister and brother oaks. You see, said the mighty oak, I, the earth, the roots, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, the birds who nest in my branches, and the squirrels who hunker down in my crevices, the hundreds of different species of lichens and insects. We are all in one relationship. I am one. At the close of the Eucharistic prayer, you and I together will pray these words. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Wait, stop. What is this kingdom we're praying for that belongs to God? What does God's will even look like every moment of my existence and of yours. In every single gospel of the New Testament, Jesus announced, lived, and inaugurated for history a new social order and an alternative reality. It is all he ever talked about, all he ever preached about and taught about. He called it the kingdom of God, or in Matthew, heaven. And it's the one we pray for every day, or sometimes even twice a day. So let's break it down and seek to understand Jesus's entire ministry on earth was to demonstrate and proclaim the domain of God's authority in the earth. In the Gospel of John, in a scene similar to the one we read this morning in Luke, Jesus is again preparing to leave his disciples. And so he says this, "Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. And if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask for will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's words, and I've made myself at home in his love." And even though we may hear the words of Luke's gospel this morning as harsh and hard and dire, with little compassion, hear this. The only love that allows someone to even want to bury their father or to follow Jesus to the point of living without a home, the only love that allows one to labor for God's authority in all the rest of the earth is born out of God. In fact, that love that I am expressing is God incarnated through me. Any love that you express is God through you. At your core, at my core, at the core of this cosmos is God. God's authority is love. And that authority has no reason to want to call down fire upon anybody for rejecting it. God's authority is love. And it looks like everything that we have heard and seen of Jesus, all the way through the Gospels, all the way through Luke. This text comes out of Luke 9, but chapters 1 through 8, Jesus has been feeding, healing the sick, whether they are physically, emotionally ill, or spiritually distressed. Jesus has been redefining who is family. Word, it ain't necessarily by blood, human blood at least. And forgiveness who of any and everything that we believe separates us from God. Because we're never really separated from God. But we think we are, we believe we are, and that's why we act as we do. And what we believe, we make it so. God's authority is love, and it seeks out anyone on the outside of the world's systems. Understand that the systems of the world are built on injustice, inequity, mercilessness, vengefulness, violence, hatred, divisiveness, and lovelessness. When we understand that we are not members of the systems first, we understand love. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus has described God's authority in these words. Remember the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plains? Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for you are living in the domain of God's authority. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. You are under God's authority," which is love. "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. You are under God's authority. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and when they talk about you and revile you, and you lose your friends and you lose your family, and they defame you on account of you being a follower of Jesus. Remember, you are under God's authority. God's authority is love. And get this, God's authority isn't just something God gives. It's who God is. God's authority is God. To say you are blessed and living under God's authority means that you are living under love. God, who is a relationship of the invisible and unmanifested, plus the visible and manifested, that is beauty and noble, truth and justice, excellence, whole and lovely. Anytime we experience these things in life, beauty, nobility, truth, justice, excellence, wholeness, love, we are experiencing God. "You see," said the mighty oak, "I, the earth, the roots, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, the birds who nest in my branches, and the squirrels who hunker down in my crevices, the hundreds of different species of lichens and insects, am one." Let the one who has ears to hear hear. Jesus says, "I am the trunk of the mighty oak, and God, my Father, the unknown, the invisible, is the dark, moist earth. I am the trunk of the mighty oak, and you are its branches. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. For if you make yourselves at home with me and my words at home in you, this is how my Father shows who he is, the unmanifested, the unknown mystery in the darkness. My Father shows who he is when you produce acorns, when you mature as my disciples." We heard St. Paul tell the Galatians, "Joy and patience, peace and kindness, generosity and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control are fruits of the Spirit." I'm here to tell you that they are all ways of being as we live out of a heart of love. I started a prayer recently, probably a couple of weeks ago, asking God to help me to think out of my heart instead of my head. My mind can run a million different scenarios. My heart only runs one. It is love. These fruits of the Spirit are the way are God through us. And they happen when we surrender to the domain of God's authority in our lives. Because surrendering allows us to take on the mind of Christ. We're just the branches. The trunk has everything we need. All we have to do is stay connected. May I suggest as a beginning place Psalm 46, verse 10. Just going to Psalm 46, verse 10, and sitting with that verse with the intention of hearing what it suggests will bring you to a new place where we can begin to perceive all of life through the eyes of Christ. Brothers and sisters, God is with you. The question is, will you be with God? Amen.